The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday in Advent, Gaudete Sunday, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety. But in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet. And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water. But in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." These things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the first thing, there's several things in the bulletin. I will not address myself to each of them, but I do want to highlight the ones that are the most important. First of all, there will be no catechism class this morning, probably because of the weather. And I don't know where everybody is this morning. Nobody's here, hardly, except the great ones that are here. So, but there will be no baptism. There will be no catechism class this morning. Christmas masses in the Abbey Church. There will be no 6 o'clock mass in the Abbey Church on Christmas morning. Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are Ember Days, the winter Ember Days, and they are days of fast and abstinence. Meat may be eaten once on Wednesday and Saturday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. As we have already noted, that we mention the word rejoice. That is why today is called Gaudete Sunday, because the very first word in today's introit is Gaudete, is rejoice. It is rejoice Sunday. Advent is half over. And we are that much closer to the day that we've all been waiting for. Very shortly, as a matter of fact, on the 17th of this month, you'll notice on the front side of your bulletin are the listing of the great O antiphons. These should be included with your table reading each night, beginning with the 17th, and say the little prayer that is assigned for that particular day. The O antiphons are the great expectation antiphons that we are waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Advent is a period of time of penance. As soon as that period is over, in just a matter of days, you could almost count the days, we enter into another season of penance and mortification and sacrifice, the season of Lent. And our lives are surrounded, it seems, in reality, they are surrounded with the atmosphere of penance and recollection and sacrifice and mortification. People say, how gloomy. Is this what is expected of us, that our lives are dedicated only to things that we don't want to do, to things that we do not like to do? The world today, more than ever, it has always done this, but today in particular, the world today is making a very devastating, a very serious joke of Almighty God. And to speak of Almighty God, as we have pointed out before, to speak of Almighty God to today's world is like trying to write in water. It doesn't mean anything. And even amongst our own, how much do we notice that God time, if we can ever even use that word, is almost party time, is almost fun time. My beloved people, either Jesus Christ was, or he was not. Either God is, or he is not. If he is not, then let us proceed as we proceed. But if God is, then we'd better take heed. We may be important as we walk through the streets of this world. There may be some importance in us. But as we get ready, and in fact, as we actually come to face him who is immortal, him on whom I depend totally, completely, and absolutely, without whose strength my arms are dead, when we approach his awesome presence, what goes with our importance? Let us keep in mind, my beloved people, something that the world does not want to hear, and that is that our existence here is temporary. We are here for a moment. And as we live as we live here, so shall it be for all eternity. And the measure with which we measure shall be used to measure unto us. Some have said that sometimes I sound like I'm angry when I talk. Normally my personality is rather jovial, silly at times. But from this place that I sound angry, I'm not angry. I'm determined. And when I see the way even God's chosen sometimes travel, somebody had better get angry, don't you think? It is a matter of saving our souls or not saving our souls. Either we save our souls or we do not save our souls. Either we have souls or we don't have souls. Either this body that you're looking at is eternal or it is not eternal. Therefore, we see what happens to this body. And we see that in every case, without exception, the eyes of this body are going to close shut. And they will stay shut. Then what? Then what? Then what? The world laughs about hell today, and it is rather fashionable today to have something nice to say about hell. As a matter of fact, there are those that if they had to choose between hell or heaven, have chosen hell. I heard someone say once, who was passing through, as a matter of fact, with our sisters, who have to go out, unfortunately, to do the shopping. And they were in one of the stores, the grocery stores, and in line waiting to check out, when two strong heroes passed by them, sneered, and said, Satan reigns. Very good. The measure with which you measure, the friends that you keep, the associates that you follow. The Blessed Mother has appeared numerous times to us. And every time she appears, or has appeared, this message has always been the same, identical. Prayer, penance, sacrifice, mortification. Nothing else was said. Oh, yes, it was. But I mean, as far as that, it boils itself down to just that. You say, well, aren't we entitled to some relaxation, to some fun, to some good times, to some hilarity or whatever? Does life have to be always that way? Well, we have said more than once here, Adam and Eve committed one sin. In later life, I don't know what they did, but at least the only one that we know of is that one sin. And that one sin, that one single solitary sin that they committed primarily in their minds, pride. That one single solitary sin was enough to bring about all the misfortune, all the agony, all the war, all the killings, all the disease, all the plagues, death itself, everything, everything, everything you can think of. That one sin brought it about. And here we sit, sat and sassy, fat and sassy. My beloved people, how many sins have we committed? How many? One? Two? And each sin that we have committed, serious in nature, of course, I'm not speaking of imperfections and little venial sins. I'm speaking of sins. Each sin that we have committed by itself alone, each single individual person, personal sin, is equal to that of Adam and Eve. And look at the world population and sinfulness and sin. And we expect Almighty God to overlook us and say, you didn't mean it. Each sin, would my sin alone, one sin I have committed alone, if that were the only sin that has ever been committed on earth, including Adam and Eve, if my one single sin would have brought about the same identical result. My one single sin would have been sufficient to bring that about. And we look at sin casually. If we take it casually, my beloved people, the day will come. But it will be too late. It will be too late. When we come to face to face with reality. So Advent and Lent are very serious periods of time. And we must give in to what these periods of time are calling upon us to perform, whether we like it or not. Let us ask ourselves, why do we go to church at all? What leads us to church? Is this enough? Is this enough to be able to overcome what I have done in life? Adam and Eve, one sin, my beloved people, and they started on that journey, that never-ending journey, taking them farther and farther and farther away from the point of origin. Is that the same thing actually, or cannot, or does not the same thing happen to sinners today? Our world is in a state of total collapse. We know that. And any way we look at it, we see that. Our church, as the church goes, the world goes. That too, I hope that I'm not saying something wrong. I hope. But it does appear that church, religion, worship, adoration, reverence, submission, humility, virtue, are gone with the wind. And we sit satisfied. This is Christmas time. You know how I feel about Christmas. I don't believe in all of this, all the shenanigans of gloom and doom at Christmas time. You know what the teaching is here concerning Christmas. But at the same time, this is Christmas. And we're preparing gifts, aren't we? We're preparing gifts for everybody. Except for the one who is the reason for it all. What are we? What am I giving to the baby Jesus come Christmas morning? What am I giving? His life began with sacrifice, terrible sacrifice. His life on earth was always a sacrifice. He, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, was a carpenter. He had to work as you and I have to work. And his trip to Calvary was the ultimate sacrifice. Why did he have to do all of this? Because he wanted to do something that would make it possible for the likes of you and the likes of me to achieve the purpose for which we were created. That's all. And how much we have taken what he has given to us, and let us not put this only on just a particular group. But sometimes I think that we can say, his blood be upon us and upon our children. These are fearsome thoughts, my beloved people. Life is fearsome, and death more so. And we walk about with all of the confidence and security that we can conjure up for ourselves. Who am I that I can stand in front of my God and start excusing myself away? Who am I? Perhaps I should say, what am I? That Almighty God should be mindful at all of the likes of me. Christmas is beautiful. Christmas says Christ Mass. Christmas could just as well be said Christ sacrifice, couldn't it? Two or three weeks ago we were given some grains of wheat, and I have to quit. The clock says quit. Two more minutes. We were given some grains of wheat. To do what with? To take each grain in the privacy of our lives, to take that each little grain any time that we performed our or worthy of an act of grace, to take that little grain and plant it and watch it take root and watch it grow. Now, we're half over Advent. How many grains of wheat have we planted? Or do we think this is silly kid stuff? It takes more courage. This you're going to say, that man's crazy. But I know exactly what I'm saying. It takes more courage to pick up just one of those little grains of wheat and put into the soil with the genuine sincerity that that requires than all of the might and force and killing that is going to stop all that that's going on in the world today. It takes more courage for a proud man to pick up one grain of wheat and plant it More strength, I should use the word strength, in this case rather than courage. More power, more energy. It takes more energy for one man to pick up one grain of wheat and put in that soil than it took Almighty God power and energy to create the entire universe. And why is that? Because Almighty God, in creating the universe, did not meet with resistance. But with me, the first thing he sees is resistance. No God. I will not serve. Do not interfere with me. I will not change. You, God, are going to have to do some changing. Not me. And yet God permits me? Why, God? Why do you permit me to talk to you that way? Why, God, do you allow this piece of rubbish which we call world, to continue to exist, to speak to you that way? When, Lord? How long, O God? How long? My beloved people,